Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, what's up, Gypsy Gang? We're back for episode 2 of Gypsy Gang Worldwide. Pretty stoked on this show. It's been really fun. It's cool to do something different. And anytime I get in the studio with Sammy Boy, it's always a laugh. It's been really rad with Guy Streeter in the room with us as well. Feels like a bit of an OG crew, to be honest. We've all been friends for, damn, over 10 years now, I'd say. And yeah, so to do a show with these boys has been super fun. It's really rad to just sort of be able to call in whoever. And for week 2 of the show, we decided to call in the man that is flying the Australian flag very proudly in the Supercross Lights class over in the US, Luke Clout. We got on to him to talk just about, I guess, what he's been doing during like the corona weirdness, what his thoughts are on Supercross, the remaining rounds that he has left. We talk a little bit about Melbourne and the way that the championship went down there. Cloudy's honestly just such a good dude, and he's really, I feel like he's sort of the one Australian guy that's really stepped up. Obviously, you got the Lawrence brothers, but you know they're on a different deal. They've, you know, on factory teams, moved away to Europe quite young. But in terms of guys just coming out of Australia and doing it the, I guess, like the standard way, it's a fucking grind, and he's doing a really, really, really good job of embracing that grind and making it happen. Before I get into the sponsors, I just wanted to let you guys know that you can head to www.gypsy-tales.com and you can support the podcast by getting some epic merch that we've been putting a ton of effort into. Also, we're going to be live streaming all 7 of the Supercross races with our Supercross companion show that we do. Really putting in a bunch of effort with that. Everyone's been very starved of racing for a long time. So we're going to do our bit to make the remaining 7 rounds as fun as possible. I'm really, really, really looking forward to going live for those shows. So keep an eye out on that. Best way, I guess, would just be to subscribe to us over at YouTube, turn on the bell notifications, and yeah, be pretty impossible to miss it. As always, these podcasts are brought to you by the legends at Boost Mobile. Anytime you actually see anybody calling into the studio, I have my iPhone hooked up to the streaming PC running Boost Mobile data. That's the most reliable way that I can get people in and out of the studio remote. And yeah, so this is, it's not an ad, like that's just literally what we do. So Boost provides the internet that lets our guests call in, which is epic. Also supported by the legends at MX Store, their showroom is open. They are pumping orders out the door. The same day shipping still is in effect. You can head to mxstore.com.au for anything you need. Also, tracks are opening up, so we need to start getting the ball rolling with getting those bikes out of the garage and onto the dirt. Also to the guys at Thrill Seekers, make the best seat covers in the game. You can head to their website, thrillseekerscollection.com, and use the code GypsyGang. We're also sponsored by the guys at Rival Ink Design Co. You can head to www.rivalinkdesignco.com. Use the promo code GypsyGang for 15% off your order as well. I've got a couple more codes to throw out at you if you need some fist handwear, the best gloves in the game. the best gloves in the game, made by the coolest motherfucker in the game, Sam Moore. You can head to fisthandwear.com and you can use the promo code FUCKJACE to get 20% off your order. And if you are in the market for some new flannos, you can head to Dixon Quality. That's with two X's. DixonQuality.com.au. Use the code RAMPTHIEF and that's going to get you 15% off. Also, the guys at Cricks, you can still buy a new or used car and go in the running to win that brand new KTM 450. Yeah, really appreciate you guys listening. This was a really cool podcast. And man, I'm excited. We will be streaming the Supercross Companions live from now on. So if you can't watch it through your like TV provider or on the internet, you can watch us free on YouTube. Really excited for it. This has got me pumped. Life's getting back to normal. Thanks for listening, guys, and you from the gang called Gypsy. Gangin', they come and get gypsy. Gangin', they come and get gypsy. Gang. I'm at a gypsy gang. I'm at a gypsy. All right, sweet.
I'll just bring the froth level down a little, just slightly.
All right, cool. As long as everything's going to the masters, all good. Oh, clear as day now, Cloudy. Look at you, looking good.
Cloudy's real clear until he moves. Yeah, and the pixels can't keep up to him.
I know. He's that fast. He's gotten so fast that
the fucking pixels can't keep up.
5G here, mate.
So what's been going on, mate? Thanks for joining us on Gypsy Gang Worldwide.
Yeah, thanks for having us. But just been hanging out, man. Just doing a little bit of riding now that we're going racing. And yeah, just living through this coronavirus stuff.
So your first season in the US has been...
Well, it's not his first season, but...
Well, like... yeah, that's true. He's been there a while. But this season, so let's just say thanks for my fact checker.
Thanks for the clarification.
Just really saving me there. But no, it's been about as weird a season as you could possibly imagine having, right?
Oh, it's crazy, man. Like, when I first came over here, I was meant to come home pretty much at the start of February because I was only meant to do like 4 or 5 rounds. And now, yeah, now I'm stretched out here till what, the end of June. So it's been a bit of a extended stay, but it's been good.
What's the deal with like visas and stuff with that stuff? Is it just the fact like they've shut the country down? So anyone that's got a visa, it's just kind of one of those deals.
Yeah, well, I got a P visa. So I got a sport visa for 5 years. So
you're good to stay anyway. So,
yeah, so I can stay for, you know, however long, but like, Lauren, my girlfriend, she's been on an ESTA, so she has to go home. So it's been a bit of a struggle to find flights and all that type of stuff with all the cancellations. But yeah, she's out of here in another week or two.
So how does she leave if like the borders and stuff are closed here? How's that all work?
No, you got to quarantine on the way back in.
Really?
Yeah, she got to go in a hotel for 2 weeks, man. She can't do anything. She's just stuck in a hotel.
Can't even go home.
Prison.
Fuck that shit. Just overstay your visa.
Luke,
who I did.
How'd that work for you, Jace?
I'd be getting off the plane and just copping the fine and going home. Fuck that.
Oh, dude. What a nightmare of a situation, eh? I was literally thinking, because I didn't think that Laura was over there the whole time with you. And I was like, well, yeah. Luke ain't getting an arm pump. He's been doing some motos, bro.
Some afternoon sessions.
Yeah, he's like, you hear like Floyd Mayweather gets up at like 3 in the morning to train. Luke's kind of doing the same thing, but through a website.
Oh, that's good.
You're lucky though. That worked out all right then.
Yeah, that's been good. But I'll just finish it off and then, I don't know, probably come home and I guess I'll have to be in a hotel for 2 weeks. So it's going to be real good.
Yeah, dude. Fuck. I can't believe they're doing the hotel thing. I got friends that they were in New Zealand and then they had to do quarantine in their house, but it was like a 2 week in-house thing, which like I could do that pretty easy, I reckon.
Yeah.
But a hotel.
Hotel's a bit fucked.
Fuck that. Not keen.
Oh, dude. And apparently like you sometimes you can't even order food or anything like that. You got to order from the hotel and like you can't even go get some drinks for like alcohol, beer. It's pretty bad apparently, eh?
So who pays for it?
I guess it's the government, man. Like you come off the flight and then I guess they're just they've got buses that are just waiting to pick people up and just take you to wherever the designated hotel is.
Dude. Oh, well, she's probably going to have three seats, I guess, if we're looking for silver linings.
Yeah, at least you'll have even some room on the plane.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
So your season over there before it got interrupted has been pretty fucking epic, dude.
Yeah, it's been pretty good, eh? Like, the first round obviously was a bit crappy, you know, I crashed out, and but I kind of expected, I didn't expect to crash out, but I expected it was going to be pretty rough because I'd only ridden the bike like 5 times, so we kind of got through there, and then I did some testing, got the bike a little bit better, and we just kind of progressed a little bit, and then as I was getting faster, we just kind of went through a week of testing, and I pretty much changed the whole bike. Like, we went pretty much head to toe and just done like massive amount of testing, and then that's when I come out and got the 5th and the 6th, and you know, I was like having a lot of momentum and riding really good, and all this stuff happened, but you know, I'm riding really good, I'm riding a lot better than I was, I think, and we've got our bike even better again, so
yeah, we've had heaps of time on that bike now, which is sick.
Yeah, like, that was the hard part, man, like riding a 450 and then jumping back to a 250 and then flying to the US and yeah,
so it's
jet
not
lag
even like you were on
that.
The same brand and you just stepped down in power. You actually changed everything.
Yeah, and then when we got here, like, we had a bit of delay in getting bikes and stuff. So I got here on like the 10th of December and I didn't ride till pretty much like the 20th. So there was like 10 days that I missed, and then I was riding a stock bike and then pretty much hopped on a mod bike at A1. So it was just a bit of a, but you know, expected, you know, you're trying to do stuff from Australia and all this, but then, you know, the ball started rolling and we started figuring it out and I got way better. So it's been good, eh?
When we were doing, a bunch of the Supercross companions, we were calling Townley, and he was saying that you looked really good, but the bike just didn't look good in the whoops. Is that what you guys changed?
Yeah. So the first round was like, the whoops were massive and like I cartwheeled so big in qualifying. I just went end for end, and then, like the whoops turned into being jumpers, like, cause they've been jumping through the whoops, and I had a pretty good start in the main. I think I was in like 6, and then I seriously could not jump the whoops. Like, I was like a C grader through them, man. I was like rolling through them and just getting past and trying to just, and I just looked like a total idiot. And then we kind of like, I just started jumping through the whoops at the practice track, and then the whoops were skimmers, and then our bike was just way off. So it was really inconsistent. But then after that, you know, that's when I changed the bike, and then that's where we really worked on the whoops, because, like, dude, they're monsters compared to home. It's, like, totally different.
Yeah, it's a different deal, eh? And then you get guys over there that are not even kind of, like, front-running dudes as such, but they can actually hit whoops because they've been doing it for so long. So it's like you spend a whole lap, you're faster than the dude, make a pass, and then you got some guy that, like, you kind of don't even know who he is, and then he blitzes you through the whoops, and you're like, what the fuck, dude? Leave me alone.
Yeah, can you get away?
I'm like way faster than you, bro.
Yeah, because I always watch like the CB practices, and like C's a bit of a write off. Like, there's always yellow flags out and all that.
Yeah.
But if generally, if the B guys can get through the whoops pretty good, you're like, all right, these are going to be quite easy. But when the B guys are struggling, because like those guys can ride, you think I'm like nervous going out there.
Yeah, definitely, dude. But yeah, so what was the process then of fixing that setup? Was it just literally just testing, or did you get new shit?
Yeah, so it was more so that we just pretty much, like, I went, got some testing with Ricky at KYB. So he's the head dude at KYB that does all the testing and stuff. So he's been working with us, and pretty much he just done a whole new setting, which was stiffer in the fork, stiffer in the shock. I was actually running a shorter shock length at first. And then that was, it was good at first. And then as I was getting quicker and that's where we went stiffer. And then I went to the normal shock length, and then we just fiddled around with all the settings. And then, you know, that made a massive difference, just going pretty much firmer the whole way around. So, and then obviously as I was getting quicker and, you know, we've got a better engine and all that type of stuff, it started working even better again.
Yeah. Did you expect that you were going to have to deal with like teething problems in those first couple months, like, or did it kind of throw you off a little bit, or did you sort of know what you're in for with that?
I definitely knew it was going to be tough, but I didn't think it was going to be as hard as the transition was. Like, the main part for me was just figuring because the 450, you can get away with so much.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's a heavier bike, but if you come up short on the rhythm section or you overdrive a rhythm section, like, you just literally give it a blip and you're good. And that's where I struggled on the 250. Because I was running a 450 for 3 years, I just got so used to it. If I made a mistake, it would just get me out of it.
Yeah.
And, like, man, in December and January, like, the practice track, I was crashing heaps. Like, I was crashing nearly, like, every time I was riding.
Fuck, that'd get old. And it was just,
like, the setup was, a little bit off, but it was, everyone was like, oh, what's going on? And I was taking the blame because it was just me figuring it all out.
Yeah.
And I was going to, like, we were doing press days and stuff, and, like, I crashed at every press day. This looked like a total idiot. Like, and I was just like, man, like, I'm starting to bang myself up. Like, I'm having big ones and I'm getting away with it. Like, I'm going to get hurt soon.
Yeah.
And then that's when it just And then I just started, like, really putting a lot of, like, bike time in. I was riding like 4 days a week. And we were putting like long days in, and then it just started kind of clicking when I just started figuring the whole bike thing out. Like, it was a lot harder than I thought. Like, the Yamaha is the fastest 450. And then coming back to a 250, that's, you know, however many horsepower down, that was definitely the toughest thing. And fitness wise, you've got to be fitter to ride a 250, I think, for sure.
Yeah, really?
Yeah,
you've got to do more stuff.
Like, I think, 100%. You just got to, like, you really, like, the biggest thing I can say is you've got to, like, exaggerate everything. Like, the seat bounce, you've got to put the effort into it, and getting through the rhythms, you, like, just have to make sure everything's perfect at all times.
Yeah. So, did you,
that's like, how I crashed at
A1. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah,
that's how I crashed at A1, man. Like, I just made a small mistake, got a little bit lazy, and freaking just crashed in the rhythm section. Like, just a dumb, stupid thing that would never happen. But it was just me being lazy, you know?
Yeah, whereas on a 450, you would have gone, oh, fuck, and just gone, all right, and you would have been sweet.
Yeah, got out of it. Yeah, exactly.
Would have powered out of it.
You've definitely, like, it's pretty hard for a guy at your level to, like, you watch clips through the week, like, all the shit that you put on Instagram. It's kind of hard to see, like, a speed change, but you can actually see you've gotten visibly faster between December and right now. Like, the clips that you put up, I can't remember sort of what round it was, but it definitely, you started putting up videos and it was like, fuck, he's, like, getting actually faster. And when you can see it on an Instagram clip for a guy at your level, that is, it's pretty hard to do, man.
Was it like A2 where you sort of, where it started happening for you?
Yeah. So A2 is when I, like, nearly whole shot of the main, and then.
Yeah. I was actually sitting next to Loz, and she nearly burst my eardrum.
Yeah. she's got some Snapchat memories, and she's going ham, eh?
She was going ham. I was like, wow, I love it.
So that's where it kind of clicked. Like, we did a little bit of testing there, and then I got six there, and then, like, I started getting a bit fitter and just figuring it all out. And then during the week is where we made the gains. Like, the days through the week were a lot better, a lot longer. Like, the riding was, you know, a lot more quality, and then the race was kind of like getting easier almost. And then when Oakland come around and qualified fifth, and then was leading the heat race, probably should have won that heat race, but I got a little bit of arm pump, and then, you know, then the main event, got fifth, and then that's when it was like kind of clicked. I was like, all right, you know, top five, ran with these guys, was in like fourth, right behind third for majority of the race, and then I was sort of like, all right, I can do it. Like, it was just that one little flick.
Yeah,
to prove to yourself that you're all that's where you are actually supposed to be.
Well, that's been the hard part, because, like, you know, you walk to the line at A1 and I'm literally, like, walking down open ceremonies and I'm like shitting myself. Like, you walk through and there's just 60,000 people and
fireworks.
Like, I look to the right, and I look to the right and I see, like, Dylan Ferrandis and Faulkner and Craig and all these guys that you know you sit and watch TV on a Sunday at home. And then I'm next to him, and I'm like, oh, am I good enough to kind of do this? Like, you kind of second guess yourself, like, and then when you do it, you're like, all right, like, yeah, they're not much better than you.
Yeah, and what's it been like getting to watch those guys like the Ferrandis and the Faulkner, and, like, kind of getting to be around those dudes? Like, do you see in your head, like, if I do this, this, and this, I can run that pace, or, like, what are you sort of Like, where's your head at in relation to those dudes?
Yeah, they're gnarly, man. But, you know, like, I look at it like it's harder for me because I've come over here and it's not like home. So for me, I'm learning everything as I go. So they've got a set schedule and everything's so perfect. Like, you know, they're at the track and their bikes are there and their teams are there and all that. So that's what me and my brother, because he's over here with me as well, we tried to adapt that. We tried to, like, set a perfect schedule out. And we'd be at the track here and we'd do this and we have a riding. Like, at home, I'd kind of just wing it. I'd be like, oh, I'll do a 30 today and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, over the weekend, I'll sit down and I'll have a schedule made out of everything, like gym, what I'm going to do, what my riding day is going to consist of. And we try and make the riding more quality, because I've noticed that here, like, they're riding through the week. It's like race day. Like, they've got it all set up perfectly. They've got trainers. They've got, you know, a lot better setup than us.
Yeah.
But I've tried to replicate as best as I can. But in saying that, like, I've ridden some outdoors lately, and, you know, Ferrandis is out there and he's unreal. Like, I really think Ferrandis is, you know, he's an unreal rider. Like, he's probably the one that, when I watched all the Supercrosses, like, watch back and I watched then some footage and stuff like that, I think he's the best 250 rider.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. The thing too with America that I don't think people understand until you kind of live there and try get in a routine there is, like, it's just generally hard to do shit in America.
Well, that's the thing. I've even found when I've been over there and stuff, it's like, you know, say I fly to Melbourne, right, to go and do a heap of meetings. I can go, all right, I can do something at 9, I can do something at 11, I can do something at 12, and I can do something at 3. In America, you can do one thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter,
you
know, if you're going to see this person here or that person there or whatever. Yeah. No matter what, you can only really bank on doing
one thing
per day.
Yeah.
Which... Yeah. Fucking sucks, because, like, when I'm there, I want to, like, cram as much as I can in. I want to go see this guy and then this guy and then this guy. But you can only really say, I will definitely be at this place at you can't commit to being anywhere after that, because you can leave a meeting and what should take you 20 minutes will take you 3.5 hours.
And that becomes like a daily thing for like for you guys, like, to try and ride. Pretty much you can get up in the morning, you got enough time to, like, get a coffee on the way to the track, ride, eat some lunch, go to the gym, and then that's it. Your day's done. Like, as a rider, you in America, you cannot fit anything extra into that unless
it's mad, isn't it?
It's fucking crazy, man. And so that's like, to hear you talk about organization, it's so true, and I don't think people give that much of a thought until they're there and they actually realize, like, you have to have so much structure just to do anything.
Yeah. Well, with Luke, if he was at home in Sydney, he could go to the gym in the morning, go riding, go to the gym again in the afternoon, go out for dinner, and go and see some friends, fit all this shit all in a day. In America, 100%. You're going to the gym and you're going to go for a ride. That is literally it.
Without a doubt.
Even out in like Temecula, like, where it's, I guess, less busy than, say, if you were, you know, up Huntington Beach or, like, you know, that way, which is even crazier again. But even down in Temecula, it's like going from...
Well, you come back from Parler on an afternoon, like, if you hit afternoon traffic, it takes... I've driven from my house to the Parler exit in, like, 18 minutes before, like, because I used to leave to go surfing. Yeah. So I'd turn right at the Parler exit to go surf. And then, same, like, 18-minute drive, dude, I've sat there for an hour and 45. You're just like, what the fuck are we doing here, man?
It's fucking next level, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, people just don't get it. And I think that grind kind of wears on people.
Oh, yeah, it does, man. Like, it took me a while because, like I said, in Australia, I didn't have that schedule. I was kind of like, oh, I'll just ride here and do this and that.
Yeah.
And then I got over here and... The adjustment was like, you know, you're riding 3 or 4 days a week and you know, like, this is what you're doing. You're at the track at 9, you leave at 12, you're back, lunch, train. By that time, it's 5:36. It's like, all right, dinner, bed, do it all again. And it took me a little bit. I was like, you know, fuck, I'm getting a bit kind of like tired here and all that stuff. But like, the more you do it, it kind of, you know, it gets easier. But obviously, it's been hot now. It's summer too. So, the riding's been even harder. So that's been a hard thing to get used to, because it gets hot here.
Dude, Jeremy Martin, I remember I used to go to Parler. Jeremy Martin would be in summer wearing a black hoodie doing 40-minute motos at Parler.
Yeah.
Before the
race. Yeah, he still
does
it now.
He was still
an
amateur.
That's hectic.
Yeah, he still does it now.
Really?
Yeah, like he rides even in winter. Like, I know it's a bit colder here, but he's always riding with like a bit of a jacket on. Like, he's always riding with something on over the top of it, eh? Always.
Hectic, eh? Some of those dudes, like,
yeah.
To be, you sort of learn over there that to be a top dude in the sport that we do, you just got to be a fucking weird animal. You do, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Dunge, weird animal.
Yeah.
Jeremy Martin,
yeah.
Weird animal.
I feel like Clouty, I feel like Clouty's like a good mix of like normal dude and good rider
weird animal.
And weird animal. You're like, you're not tipping the scales on the weird animal too much. You're still a legend.
Just right 50-50.
Yeah, you're like 50-50.
I think I've become a bit more of a weird animal, eh? Definitely,
I like
over it. Here. Because like, there's nothing else to do. At home, you go, at home, you go to the track and you kind of, you know, you see a mate or something and you know, you go and talk to him and how you going, blah, 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 and sit down and have a chat. But here it's just like everyone's friendly, but it's like,
it's just
you
all
just
business.
Sit there and do your own thing. It's all business. Like, you don't ever walk up to someone. It's just like everyone's kind of just staring at you and you're just like,
yeah,
there
you're not sitting on
leave.
The back of someone's ute talking shit for 45 minutes. That's literally all I do when I go riding.
But no, it's been cool. It's been cool to see everyone have like the work ethic and all that type of stuff. Cause like, it's just, you know, you do your moto, you come in and instead at home, you know, you're the one that's prepping your bike. Like, you've got your mechanic just getting you ready to get back out there and get amongst it again.
Mm. What Supercross tracks have you been out of ride? Have you been riding the La Paglia one or?
Nah, so I've got like this guy that I've become friends with and he's just got like these kids that have grown up just kind of, he's trying to bring them through the ranks and they're pretty cool riders and they're good. And I've just been riding that, been riding at Paris, that like state fair.
Yeah.
And we get on Honda every now and then, like when they've, all the guys were going back to the East Coast, we were riding out of Honda, but now that everyone's going to be back on the West, I don't know how that's going to go, but
that's
the
a bit
two tracks
shit, man.
Riding.
I feel like
and then,
they should just like, if you put a bike in the fucking top five, you should be allowed to ride it.
Yeah.
And if it's the right color.
Yeah. If it's like, if you're on a Honda, you're in the top five in a main event of any race. Okay. Welcome to the track, bro. Like, that's how it should
well,
work.
At one point,
fucking annoys me that
at one point,
like that.
At one point, I was the only Honda 250 in the whole class because, you know, Mitch hurt himself, my teammate, Jet
Craig.
Hurt himself, and then yeah. Craig hurt himself. So, yeah. Like, I was like the only one and I wasn't able to really ride out there.
Fuck them.
But yeah, I understand it. Like the guys, they spend a lot of money. Like they get it prepped and they put their own money in. The manufacturers pay rent and all that.
Yeah.
And then we're just like this little Penrite Honda team that's coming along and just, you know, we're no one really.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like if you're top five on a red bike, you should be allowed to ride at the red track. That's just my personal opinion. But it's sick that you guys
maybe
are,
you should build a Supercross track then and give Luke the keys.
Yeah, that's it. I'm doing it. The gypsy test track.
The gypsy pound.
Oh, that's funny. Dude, off topic, but I think we need to do Gypsy Fest now that Day in the Dirt's not happening.
Gypsy Fest.
I think that should be an
Luke's going to miss it because he's going to be in quarantine.
Yeah.
I'll have to make an OMA. I'll have to put in the calendar and make sure I'm out of quarantine in time.
Yeah, yeah. We'll plan it around you getting out. It'll be like a Luke's out of jail slash.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Day in the Dirt is like our Super Bowl, and now it's been taken from us.
Well, it has been taken from us, and my three-peat's been taken from me.
Yeah, but see, that's the reason to do Gypsy Fest, because Sam gets the chance to win his three-peat. He's been watching the Michael Jordan doco flat out.
Oh, I have.
He just wants it. He wants those rings.
What have you been watching that, Luke?
What do you... No, I haven't, man. I just...
You need to.
He's a weird animal.
You need to because you'll learn how to be a fucking savage.
I did watch Tiger King, though.
Speaking of savages and weird animals.
Yeah. That's like a perfect, perfect blend of savages and weird animals, but it's like an extreme on the
mix. Oh, yeah. Well, I think Gypsy Fest needs to happen. We need to find somewhere that we can do it and just have like a big...
But it has to be like kind of shit though.
Yeah,
it
has to be terrible.
Like not a good track at all. Just like real shit paddock with heaps of rocks.
Cow shit everywhere.
Cow shit everywhere. Dead grass. Maybe a car wreck.
And then like...
Something dangerous to cut yourself on.
And then we like may or may not go.
Yeah, we might not go.
Oh fucking hell! Are you over Melbourne yet? Have you got over the night of racing that went down?
Yeah, it is what it is, eh? I'd love to be able to say I'm standing here as the champion. I'm not gonna lie, but the way the day was going, man. Oh, thanks, Stan. That's all that matters to me. Like the way that day was going, like I walked into the last three races and like not being cocky, I was just like, I'm going to win this, like, you know, qualifying fastest, super pole, and the way it was going. And then, obviously when I went down in the first one, and that was weird because I wasn't even trying really to go up the inside and make contact or anything with JB. I was just trying to go up the inside and just be, you know, just show him I was there. And the track was just so slick. And then it just went downhill. I think our bike setup was a little bit off, but that was kind of my call. And it just snowballed a little bit. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm still young and, you know, JB's got 10 years on me. So, I think there'll be a time I'll be on the top step. So it's all good.
Yeah, I was sort of not to like bring that up just to be like a fucking, you know.
A dog.
Yeah, but I think that it's worth... It's worth
just,
saying
just,
that.
You're just like, oh, here's a little wound. I might stick my finger in it.
Yeah, you're still fucking, you're still bummed about throwing away the championship, bro. Yeah. But like, I think that if you look, when we look back on it in a few years' time, it'll probably be the best thing that happened to you in a way, you know, like.
Oh, 100%.
I was wondering if like you'd kind of have seen it like that yet, because fuck, like, honestly, bro, you've improved so much just since December. And it's like, you wonder the headspace that you would have got from like winning that championship, probably a lot of extra pressure for this season in particular. Like, you know, it's like, it would have been cool to, you know, to go in there as like, oh, this is the champ from Australia, but like commentators would have been talking to you, more people would have been talking to you, but all that would have done in my mind is add a little bit more pressure. And then, you know, you think about the fact that you've now got, you know, you sort of get there, the bikes aren't fully dialed, the program's not fully dialed. Can you imagine if you went in with the weight of that championship and then everything wasn't kind of dialed and then you didn't kind of look like that same dude that won Melbourne or whatever? So it sort of almost seems like it's worked out for the better in a way to like let you really rip this year with sort of without that pressure.
And then it might have also been sort of like one of those things where, you know, if you had won a title, like would you have still made the same decision to go and take that chance to go to the US and do what you did? Like you might have been like, well, fuck, I won the title. I just kind of need to keep doing what I'm doing here. You know, like this way you've been able to sort of like gamble on it a little bit and try and like do what you're doing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. Like, I think everything happens for a reason, to be honest. Like, I'm a believer in that for sure. And like I said, going into that season, like if anyone's going to beat me, it'll be Brayton.
That's a good assumption.
You know, just
fuck, what a guess.
and just to like, as I progressed and started, you know, getting better and better and better. And that was just my goal, to get better, to beat JB. And then that's what we did. And, you know, unfortunately we didn't win, but I think I come out kind of a better person from it and learnt, you know, because if I'm in that situation at home again, like I've been there, I've done it, and it won't happen again. Like I know
but,
it won't
but also
again,
like and... how you could not have had a better person to race against to prepare you for what you're doing now, because obviously Justin's an awesome dude and also like an amazing rider. So, like, for you to actually be able to spend a couple of seasons, I guess, like, dicing with him, you've probably learnt a lot from him by racing him, but then also, you know, just being around him as well and seeing how, like, you know, chill and calm he is and how he goes about his business and shit's probably helped you, like a lot.
100%. Like, having JB come to the, you know, the last 3-4 years, however long it's been, like, it's been really good because, like, 17... Four in a row.
How about you fucking rub it in a bit more, mate?
Yeah, he beat
four times, Luke.
He beat Luke Clout at the finale.
But, like, seeing how much closer, like, each year I was getting, like, it was getting way better. Like, 17, I was a bit off. 18 on the KTM, like, getting a bit better. Then 19, it was like, all right, like, I've beaten this guy. I've gotten better. I'm getting better. Then the American opportunity came, and I was like, you know, I think I'm ready to go now. Like, this is time for me to go and give the US a shot because I've stepped up so much in these 3 years. Like, it has to be the time to go and give the US a go for sure.
Yeah.
Dude, you will. I just think it's so crazy, and it's such like a wasted opportunity for other dudes. Like, to me, over the last few years, when you're on a KTM, that's the first year I really noticed it in 18. I was like, fuck, man, Cloudy's like, he's like actually taking this serious.
Yeah, it's good as like a measuring stick. Yeah. I guess like Justin being in Australia, I think's helped the sport so much.
Fuck yeah,
in Australia because
100%,
and because of the dude that he is as well. Like, he's so like just cool and accepting and just, you know,
he just made zero enemies. I feel like he made everybody. He was, like, obviously winning and, like, you know, you can look at it as, like, he's taking a ride, he's taking prize money, blah, 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 if you want to look at it like that. But in my mind, the JB thing, like, his commitment to the Australian series is, like, what you're doing over there is what everybody should have done. And, like, that's the real payoff for Justin Brayton coming is now we've got, like, a Luke Clout that's in America getting a top fives. Yeah. And it's, like, I was fucking scratching my head going like, why is more people not looking like Luke Clout right now and taking this as serious? Because everyone else seemed to just accept that they were going to get beaten by Brayton in a way. And it's like, you, even when you weren't even capable of beating him, you had it in your mind that you were going to use this as an opportunity.
It's a stepping stone. All right? Yeah. You know? And I mean, I guess like, you know, he's probably played a big part in that too. Cause he's obviously, you know, bought Justin in. And then he's been able to work with Luke to get Luke there. So it's like, you know, it's cool to see, I guess, like the you know, just thinking bigger than this little fish pond, you know.
And that's, I think, Luke, like, you're probably the dude that took it the most serious as an opportunity to be like, fuck yeah, this is a chance now.
Yeah, 100%, man. Like, I'll totally agree with that. Like, when JB came over, and, like, you know, he's a top dude in the US. Like, he's the real deal. It makes you think, all right, like, this guy's going to have his program down to a T. He's going to have his bike good. Like, they're already better than us, and they're going to be better again because everything's perfect. So I, like, looked at it like, all right, 18, you know, on the KDM, I was, like, still a bit young and done some dumb mistakes and all that. But that's when I was like, all right, I need to train hard. I need to, like, because this is going to show if you can do it. Yeah. And this is going to show if American teams are looking at you to potentially have it. And then that kind of went good. And then 19, obviously I was like, you know, I had my program better. And then that's when I was riding really good. And I like picked my training up again and I just took it like super serious. And like you said, like I personally don't think people in Australia take it serious enough. Like I know that it's not big enough, as big as Europe and US, like in the whole overall scheme of it, but there's opportunities to potentially be able to come over and make it happen, you know? And I don't think the guys train hard enough and I don't think they ride hard enough. And I don't think that's just me being a personal, like, and I'll admit, I probably didn't do it enough either when I was like 18, 19, 20, when I was winning the championships.
Sure. You
on
for
circuit.
Sure didn't. Nah.
Yeah. You got to some of that stuff you've got to mature into and work out as you go along. I mean, shit, like 5 years ago, I wasn't as good at, you know, anything as I am now. Cause you work it out.
Yeah, exactly.
You work it out. Yeah.
You get to a point too, where you just you have to make a choice of how serious you want to take something, because like,
100%.
I mean, it's the same with the podcast. It's the same with Sammy with Fist. Like the fucking moment that you sort of like really make a choice to go like, Yeah. It's almost like you just accept.
It's like, this is what I'm doing and I'm going
to
do it.
And you accept the sacrifices
you have to
make.
Yeah, you get in what you put out, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, you literally accept, like, you're like, fuck, man, I'm going to have to do all this extra shit that I don't really want to do. You're like, fuck, I don't know if I like want to do be in the studio that much. And then you're like, fuck, I kind of want to have a cool podcast though.
Yeah.
And then
it's the same. I can have have a shit one and do fuck all, or I could have a really sick one and do heaps.
It's the same as a writer. And Fist, it's like the same shit, right?
Yeah, 100%, man. 100%. Like, I even like Ferris, I'd say Ferris elevated it as well. Like, his program was really solid. So, like, Ferris was one that elevated it in the outdoors, JV and Supercross. You know, like, I was signing on to go and, you know, do the best I can and win. I didn't want to get smoked every weekend. And I knew those guys were training. So I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to sort my shit out and give myself the best shot, because, like, I look at things like, I think you might have said it, Sam, when you look at things 5 years down the track of where you want to be, like, that's where I looked at it. Like, a few years ago, I was like, oh, I want to be in the US in 5 years, or, you know, so I need to start now to get to where I want, because it's not just going to happen.
It's no different when you're riding. When you come out of a corner, you got to just look to the next corner. You don't look at to a meter in front of you at the rock that's in front of you.
So, So all the hard work for me to start in like 2017 was to hopefully be in America in 3, 4, 5 years, you know, like, obviously a little bit later. So it's been good. But like, even me sitting here now, but like it's cool. I'm over here. I've got some top fives, but like, I still want more, you know, like, I want to be on the podium. Like, I want to be on a factory team. Like, there's heaps of goals that I want to be able to tick. And like, I'm not going to stop until, you know, I want to be on the box. And
like, you can be on the box. Like, you ride good enough in Supercross to be on the box. Like, you have to. And there's a level too where I've always seen guys where it's like, they want to be on the podium, but they don't.
Do they really, really want it?
But they don't necessarily even believe it.
No.
You know, like, there's a difference between like knowing you can and thinking you can. And there's a lot of people that like think they can be on the box or want to be on the box, but like, I feel like you even know it. Like, yes, I can be on the podium.
I mean, I think as well, even those races that I was at the start of the year, you know, there was such a different, I can't remember exactly, but I remember in the heats or something, like, you kind of like struggled and it kind of like looked like you didn't like believe that you should be there. So I think I sent you a message on on Instagram, like between the heat and the main. And it was like, dude, like, fuck, you're supposed to be here. Don't stop thinking that you don't deserve to be here. And then you come out in the main and fucking killed it. All me. but in all seriousness, it's like, it's just, that's what it is. I think so much of like, you know, having that energy that it's like, you know, you deserve to be here. It's not like you haven't been like handed some, you haven't like won some weird prize to just be there. Like, you've worked and you've earned, you've earned your way to be there. You know, like, you're one of the best Supercross riders in the world. Like, you're supposed to be there. And you know, you've just got to believe, well, you've just got to know that, because that's the truth.
Yeah. And that took me a little bit, man. Like I said, when I'm walking down there, I was like, you know, the doubt. And then when I started, like, Oakland was the one that really like went, all right, this is it. It's gone good. Then San Diego again, like, qualified top five, got six in the main. I was like, all right, like, it's happening. Then I was like, you know, podium, this is going to happen. Like, podium in the last, you know, four rounds that we have. And then obviously all this stuff's going on, but the goal is still, like, we'll be on the box. Like, that's where I want to be at. So
if you get on the podium, looking forward to it. I do not want to be sitting next to Loz.
Oh, mate.
Bro.
She'll probably be in quarantine. She'll be in quarantine.
She'll be in quarantine. She'll break all the windows in the hotel.
Oh, imagine that, mate.
Oh, wait, so
Jay, she goes clean off. It's the best. It's the best thing. Like, it's so rad. She's so like, so passionate. It's unreal.
That's right. You need that shit too, eh? You need that kind of energy in your corner.
And you've got the most passionate team owner there is in the universe.
Oh, mate, I've seen him cry.
So she'd blow up one room, and you even blow up the other room. It'd be unreal.
Oh, mate.
I fucking hope. I hope even like for just his sake of how much that motherfucker has put into the sport, like,
so gnarly. I love it.
He does deserve to have a podium in the US, old Konski. Yeah, like without a doubt.
I agree, man. Like he's done so much, like in, you know, this short space, it's insane. Like when we first negotiated the contract and whatever, it was like, oh, we'll go race, it'll just be out of the sprinter van. Yep, no worries. Whatever. Like I just want to race.
All of a sudden you've got a semi.
You know. Walk, and then I'm like, yeah, no worries, sweet, sprinter van, that'll do me. And then, you know, get over here, and then your reef flies over a few days later. Yeah, yeah, we've got a truck. I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah, just got a semi. All right. So that next thing, 2 days later, there's a semi here, and things getting wrapped. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Yeah, just went and got a, you know, the front of the truck, all good. Yeah, we got that sorted. The thing's getting wrapped at A1, you know, everyone's there sorted. We're getting our stuff all wrapped and all finished, and then, like, you know, A1 come along and it just got done, like pretty much race day, it's all sorted. And it's just like me and Yarif kind of took a step back, you know, and had a look at the truck and just look at everything he's kind of set up. And it was pretty surreal, man. Like for what he's done in, it was like, I think it was 6 weeks he sorted it all out, and he's been in Australia, like, you know, negotiating over here while he's at home. Like, I don't think he's slept since Anaheim. Seriously,
nah. I reckon he has. Nah. Man, he's like the poster child for getting shit done.
Even when I used to work,
he just tunnel visions and just goes. I fucking love it. It's so good.
Yeah, like even when I worked at Stroke, man, he had like a little setup where he used to just sleep behind his desk.
Yeah,
and like I'd leave there, get back in the next day, and like he's just still there. He was fucking like making it happen. Eh? You just gotta love the grind, I guess. I feel like that's just anyone that's successful. They just fucking figure out how to enjoy the grind.
That's one thing, even like after, you know, when I was negotiating and talking to Reef, I was like, you know, the America thing was a massive draw for me to go over to Honda. But when I spoke to Reef and just realized like how much he loves it and puts everything in, and, you know, sometimes it's not pretty the way he gets it done, but, you know, there's always a bike on the track. When it comes time to race, there's a bike ready to go and everything's ready to race.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's definitely true. Speaking of ready to race, what are your thoughts when you heard about the Salt Lake thing, the seven rounds? You've only got two rounds though, right?
Yeah, so we got two west and then an east west.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Salt Lake thing was a little bit of like a random thought, because obviously this Phoenix thing was like, that was it, like, the Phoenix happened May 15th. That was like, because I had a month off after riding because, you know, this whole thing, we're not racing until September or whenever it was. So I was like, all right, I'll have some time off. Then that started. So then everyone was riding, you know, May 15th is it, due date, whatever. And then it come closer and then they canceled out that. So I was like, man, what are they going to do? Like, if they're canceling this and pushing it back, like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, that's their target date. And then, there was just talk of May 31st, and then Salt Lake comes on. But, yeah, I'm happy that we're racing, man. Like, we need to be doing some racing. Like, it's boring sitting here doing nothing. But
so what's the deal? So, like, with Salt Lake, that's an elevation, right?
Yeah, but it's not as high as me and Ben actually thought. It's only 1,200 meters.
All right. So it's not that bad. So the 250 is not going to be like riding an 80 then?
It'll still be a bit slower. Like, it's still fucking, it's still high, but it's not.
110, riding, you're like racing a 110.
Yeah, hey, you think you got extra seat bound shit?
You're going to have to pick up your bike and throw it.
I'm entering because everyone's going single, 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 double, single.
We're not going to be able to do all the big rhythms, but, like, I'm looking forward to it because, like, I've looked at some videos of the past few races and it's kind of like a real dry, crumbly, dusty, like,
yeah, it looks like a shitty Australian practice track.
It looks just like it just looks like Wollongong Supercross, man. Like,
you're on then.
But, like, no, it'll be good, man. Like, I'm just excited to go racing. Like, we've just been sitting here twiddling our thumbs going, like, if I'm not racing,
it must be so weird,
like,
actually just
here?
Not knowing what you're doing, when you're doing it, or, like, really anything.
Oh, mate, like, it was just like, I was just not even training. I was like, why should I get up and cycle? Like, I've got some time to have off, so I'm just gonna have it off. And then it was like, oh, we're racing, like, you know, everyone's ready. And then that got cancelled. It was just, but to have a firm set date, like, it's good now. But, like, I hope they don't have a spike in cases or something, because, like, then that'll stop it all. But it seems like it's gonna go ahead.
And so, what's your plan? Are you gonna stay there for the full 3 weeks, or?
Yeah, I don't know, man. So, like, we haven't really been given many details. We've just obviously been given the schedule of all the races, which is like Sunday, Wednesday or something.
Yeah.
But I think we're just going to get there and then probably I'll just stay. Because I think if you get there, you've got to quarantine or something for like a few days, like 2 days before it or something. So we might just get there and then just stay. Like it'll be, I think it'll be,
yeah,
like
I think everyone has to get tested 2 days before.
Yeah, because I don't think,
yeah.
I mean, if you did want to go backwards and forwards, you wouldn't even have to fly because Salt Lake's not that far from where
it's like 8-9 hours.
Yeah, it's like 8 hours or something. Yeah. Yeah, it's like 8 hours. So like, but that's just the
It's a good drive too, to be honest.
But the annoying thing is like you can go home and train, but you're going to have to get tested and then you're going to have to be there 2 days before. And it's just like, is it worth going home to do a day or two of riding? Like you might be able to find a track in Salt Lake somewhere and just stay there.
Dude, it's so beautiful there too as well. Like if you can, man, like, and there is time, like try and get out and see some of the national parks and stuff around there. Like it's pretty crazy, man. There's literally nothing like that in Australia.
Yeah, I'll have a look for sure. I've seen some, like, obviously, like, Googled it and stuff. It looks real nice. So I'll definitely explore. Like, we're going to be there for, I think, like, 11, 12 days or whatever it is. So we're going to have a few off days. I'll go and have a look for sure.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool spot. And, yeah, the drive from California to Utah, like, they've got all these crazy national parks and stuff that are fucking sick.
What is it like, the real rocky, like the roads that are going through? It's real rocky and that on the sides and stuff.
Like it's so nice, like going through there, and then you go, it's Colorado straight after that.
That's Colorado. Yeah.
I drove through there on the way to when I drove to X Games last year.
Yeah, didn't you?
Fucking unreal.
Yeah, you went for a bit of a trip, didn't you? You were going.
Yeah,
to
I drove
Games.
From California to Minnesota and back. Just cause in a van that I paid like $1,700 for with Harry Binks freestyle back in the back bike in the back of it. I slept with Harry's bike for like 2 weeks.
Oh, that's good. When are you coming, Sam? When are you going to get over here? Whenever
you're I don't know. Like, I don't know what the deal is. Like, when are you allowed? Like, I don't
think anyone knows.
I don't really. I'm not much into staying in a hotel room for 2 weeks. So probably not for ages.
Dude, Australia's the worst for it. Like, you can't fly out. You're not allowed to do this. And, like, it's like, all right.
And we've had, like
and then...
We've had, like, six people cough because of coronavirus, too. It's fucked up.
I know. I look at the Australian statistics, and I'm like, come on, mate. Like, it's, like, 10 people in a pub. Like, come on.
Isn't it weird, though? Like, the one thing that, like, trips me out is, like, how... Like, you see people flying backwards and forwards overseas, right, in these planes at the moment. And there's, like, what?
They'd
how
be
many...
losing money on that shit, yeah.
They'd be losing ridiculous amounts of money. Like, I mean, because how many people are normally on a flight from there? Like,
all of them.
Like,
like everyone,
shit tons.
Yeah, 400 people.
But what, like, and you just see, I mean, how could that even go close to paying for itself?
Yeah.
I mean, it obviously doesn't, but
no.
it must be like a duty of care thing that they have to run. X amount of flights for X amount of, I don't know.
Flights.
Yeah. But dude, America's going insane over there. Like, I've been trying hard not to follow it that much, but it's like, it's so political over there. Like in Australia, the whole coronavirus thing, like it hasn't really infiltrated politics in terms of like, not Democrats, Republicans, like Labor, Liberal. Like it's not like it's us versus them and fucking.
But in America, it's all us versus them,
and that's why it's just shut down, because it's like it's all. And the worst thing is it's an election year over there, so it's like
It's
the perfect
Looking into it. Like it's just like I've been looking into it heaps because like I watch the news every morning and that before we go riding or whatever, and just
cooking your brain,
gang
mate.
Up on Trump. The gang up on Trump is insane.
Yeah.
Like, all they do is just, like, it's so fake news. Like, I'm sitting there watching it, and it's just, like, he doesn't even say some of the stuff he says, and they just, like, edit it, you know, or something.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I just reckon it's a big thing to get Trump out, man. Like, honestly. Like, that's just what it looks like.
Yeah. No, it's getting sketchy, and, like, the crazy thing is with the states the way that it is. So, like, California is just a blue state. So it's like you watch anything in California, you read anything in California, like all of California, blue state, anti-Trump. And then you go to Texas, Tennessee, like any of those Alabama, yeah. any of those like North Carolina, it's red state. And then it's like, it's just so divided. Like, it's so crazy. So like what you're seeing there is purely based on where you live. And it's like, so the information you get given is because of where you're at. And it's like, it's so 100%. Hectic for, it's like a global, you know, pandemic affects everybody. And it literally just gets like stopped because this party and this party. And it's like, fuck man. Like at some point, like, can we just get shit rolling again? Let's figure out the election after we can all do shit.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to put all that shit on hold so we can sort out the world. And after the world's sorted out, then we can argue.
Then you fuckheads argue.
Oh, it's insane, man. But it is what it is. Like,
Australia should... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. Australia, like the amount of cases and that, like, it just, like, you just think it'd be starting back up, man. Like, it's just ridiculous, but it is what it is.
The average age of death from coronavirus is older than the average age of death.
That took a second for me to work out. I was like, my brain not working.
How fucked up is that? Like, the whole world has stopped because people are dying that are older than they normally die. Like, why is this a red flag? When you put it in that context, it's just like, It's like if you go, so the average age of death, I don't even know what it is, but say it's like 65 years old. Mm. And then you're like, all right, that's our average age of death. And now because of this coronavirus or whatever it is, people are now dying at 33. You'd be like, fuck. All right,
fuck, that's heavy.
But then you're like, the average age of death is 65 and people are dying at 85. Because you'd be like, yeah, what do you mean? Old people die, right? It sounds insensitive, but at some point it's like, fuck, we got to be able to do shit. We got races to watch.
100%.
That was a joke.
Heavy.
We definitely, it's a fucking weird season though to be interrupted the way that it,
you reckon?
That it has been, like, fuck, in so terms what, of just sure. racing fans.
So what is your plans going forward, Luke? Like, are you doing outdoors or, like, I feel like I probably should man, do this.
I don't know yet, eh? Like, I'll finish off here, obviously, like the seven races, like when they're done, and then maybe see if we can do some outdoors. I don't know. Like,
in the US or Australia?
Yeah, I'd like to do a few in the US. Like,
would you do it on 450 or 250 still?
I'd do outdoor 450, I think.
Cheaper.
I think just cheaper bikes, you know, the factory bikes are just that much better when they're, you know, outdoors again. So, I think 450, I'd like to. So we'll just kind of see how it goes. And because the motocross starts like a week after the supercross finishes. So.
Oh, wow.
It starts at Redbud, right?
Yeah.
Dude, it's worth just staying just to fucking ride Redbud, man.
Just do Redbud.
Yeah. From what I'm hearing, it's July 4th, but I don't know if it's Redbud. But I would think it would be July 4th weekend.
Yeah. Oh, I thought I saw something like all the that state, it was Redbud.
Because, like, Michigan's, obviously, there was real bad cases. And then, like, Washougal was having bad cases, like Washington State. And then, obviously, New York. So they were talking about, like, are they going to be able to run those rounds and all this type of stuff. So the schedule, I don't think the schedule that's come out is the legit schedule. But
so they're just going to kind of, like, dodge the states that are struggling.
I would assume, because, like, if they can't have crowds, I don't know if they'd be racing the outdoors if they can't have a crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But
so Supercross, no crowd.
No.
Yeah. Isn't that going to be
weird?
Yeah,
no crowd, yeah.
That'll be super weird for you. It'll be like a practice day.
Yeah, that's what it's like. Yeah, the main event going down and, like, just no opening ceremonies and none of that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to be
super weird.
It's just be... Yeah, it will, like, it. Yeah, I don't know, it will be, yeah, it'll be interesting.
How much are you aware of the crowd, though, once you're actually racing?
And can you actually hear Lozza from the track?
I can hear Lauren, yeah. No, when you're walking down, obviously you take note, but when you're racing, like, you don't.
Yeah.
But when there's a pass or a take out, like, at A2 when Ferrandis took out Craig, like, man.
Oh, did he take out Craig?
Oh, I missed that.
I think you might have. I think
they made contact. It wasn't a takeout.
I think he just went up the inside and they kind of, like, Craig hit him, I think.
Yeah, dude, that stadium yeah, like, was going nuts, man. Like, I was, like, and right next to where Jet, like, where Fernandez, like, tried to pass Jet. And yeah. then he just, like,
yeah.
pinned it down there, like, outside of that, like, rhythm section. I was, like, me and Loza yeah. were sitting, like, right there. And it was, man, it was nuts.
I feel sorry for Fernandez too. Like heat of the moment, it happened, like, is what it is, whatever. But like when he's on the podium and they're booing him, and
yeah, it sucks.
The next week they're booing him, and like you go on his social media and the amount of
it was heavy.
Oh, yeah, it's heavy. People need to remember, like, at the end of the day, he's just a dude trying to do his job.
Dude, like, what are you going to do for a paycheck?
Yeah, what Craig was going too slow. Like
people do,
man. If Craig was in the way of you, I would expect you to do the same thing.
But like, people do crazy things for money, man. Like, crazier than that. Like, yeah. he's just in the heat of the moment racing. Like, I'm sure. Like, I don't know for sure because I haven't had a factory contract. But second to third, like third to second, second to first, it's going to be a big bump up in the bonus money.
Oh, dude, definitely, man. And you know what? When I was talking to Townley the other day. He was just talking about Fernandez in general, and he was saying yeah. like, when you're that dude riding that well, you just see through people. Like, you're not actually, he wouldn't have even been looking at Craig as though like he had to pass him. He was just like, see ya. You know, there's just that yeah. sort of headspace where it's like, he's sort of not even there to him.
Yeah. He's just get to the front.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chad
yeah,
just texted sure, us too.
But... Oh, did he?
He said,
what did he say?
He said, sorry, boys, just finished up now, jumping in supercars celebrity practice at Bathurst.
Oh, sick. Chad's doing the V8
Chad's,
supercars.
Chad's a full-time sim driver now.
Oh, is that sim game? I've seen that. It looks pretty
dude,
sick.
It's so
Townley,
sick.
Townley really likes it. Like, Townley's real into it, eh?
He's off it.
He's real off What's it. He hates it.
He hates it. He'd hate it, hates eh? It, he yeah. would hate it.
He was sending whiskers.
He rang me the other week. He rang, like, him and Jace must have been on the phone. They called me in.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he goes, don't say anything. I'm just going to ask you a question. Say yes or no. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, do you think sim racing's cool? And I went, oh yeah. And he just hung up.
Chad's fucking good though. I got my setup, and then it was a couple weekends ago. He calls up. And he's like, righto, go on this, go on this, go on this. We rode, he was doing a race on the Tuesday around this track, like an e-race. And so we both got in identical Mercedes AMG GT3 cars.
Sounds expensive.
He emailed, it was $11. He sends me like the car setup. So we're literally in an identical car. We're on the same track. Like, if he nudged me, like, I felt it, you know what I mean? And then we're like doing laps. We're in our earpiece together, and he's coaching me around this track. Like, they're so insane, dude. Like, I can see why everyone is just so into it.
Yeah, it's sick, eh?
Don't tell Townley though, because you'll write you off.
Fuck Townley. He's old. Oh, whiskers.
They don't have that shit in Rotorua.
Oh,
over in New Zealand.
In Zidbrew.
Oh, that's good. Well, thanks heaps for coming on, bro. It was sick to have a chat, dude. And you're doing everybody so, so proud, man. Like, you've absolutely been fucking killing it. And the way that you've embraced the challenge and dealt with all the shit that's sort of going on, like, yeah, everyone at home is super, super stoked for you.
Yeah,
so.
It's so sick. It honestly makes watching the races so much better for me, like, personally. You know, having a horse in the race, you know, it's good.
No, I appreciate it, and like, it's just, it's sick to like know how many like Australians are watching and kind of the support. And obviously when all the stuff, you know, wasn't going on, the amount of Aussies that were at the races and, you know, the people that you kind of don't even know those people, but you know, you've got that Australian connection and
yeah.
the
yeah.
people that you meet and yeah.
Automatic
yeah,
best mates.
That. It's automatic best mates. Yeah. So, it's been it's been sick, man, and I've had a lot of people, you know, reach out to me and stuff like that. So yeah. It's sick. So, you know, these last few races, I'm going to be giving it everything. So I want to be on the podium and, yeah, get an Aussie on top. So that's the plan. Yeah, obviously, you know, we're
all
Jet
super proud of you. So,
yeah, no,
and bonus points.
It, appreciate it, guys. Hey,
bonus points for not being one of those fuckwits that has an accent in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. How is it, eh? They go to America for like 2 weeks and they come back full yank.
Go for a holiday and come back Californian.
I can't do it. I can't do it, man.
Oh, that's funny. It's a fucking piss off, but hey, when you're like ordering food and
it's
shit.
It's so hard.
You're like, you can't order anything. Like, whenever I had to do any banking stuff, like, I used to just pass it to, it was either my ex-girlfriend or Nate Ramsey. I'd be like, hey, I need you to talk to the bank. I need you, because...
Dude, I was somewhere last time and I was trying to order a drink and she gave me fries. I'm like, no, I said drink. She's like, here's your fries.
You should see it now, man, because we've had to wear masks.
Oh, the mask.
Like, oh, shit.
So they can't lip read, like, you know, when you lip read, like, they can't hear anything. Like, it's just this, and it's like, man, it's talking to a wall. Like, honestly, they have no idea what we're saying. But, like, yeah, it's been like a piss take, honestly.
My favorite was, I don't know why, dude, but, like, Americans could not understand me saying ice.
Ice. It's water for me.
Anytime I'd say ice. I'd have to go, there's like, ice, and I was like, frozen square cubes of water.
Water.
It was fucking hectic, man. I just couldn't order ice for 8 years.
It is hard, isn't it? It's so crazy how we, like, our accent just fucks with them so hard.
Yeah.
That you can't. Like, sometimes it's so frustrating. Sometimes you can't get your point across. Like, you're just trying to order a fucking bottle of water, and they're like looking at you like you're speaking Spanish.
Yeah, it's full.
Well, they sorry, I don't speak Spanish. Down, eh?
What's that?
You just got to slow down and just like be real dramatic with your words. Like, just fucking stretch it out.
Yeah, over enunciate everything.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I've noticed.
Righto, dude. Well, thanks again, man. And we'll try and check in. We're going to be doing the Supercross Companions live. Might even get you to FaceTime us after one of the mains or in between or something like that if you want to hang out in between.
Sure, we'll give you a pep talk.
Yeah, Sammy can give you another pep talk and get you on the box.
Yeah, for sure. No,
I'll pump up your tires.
Just hit me up, man. I'm keen.
All right, brother. Thanks so much, man.
Good to see ya.
See you guys. Cheers.
See you, bro.
Thank you.
Fucking Lord. The Lord that is Luke Clout. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for watching another edition of Gypsy Gang Worldwide.
We need to get some kind of like sound.
We do, actually, yeah.
You're not very good
at it. I'm not real good at it in general, yeah. Oh, Cloudy. No. Oh, see you, Cloudy.
Oh, he's upside down. No, he's not.
Boys.
See you, brother.
He's still here.
Oh, hey.
But yeah, Sammy, any news with you, mate, before we go?
I haven't really left my warehouse in like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
so we're just working, just doing it. How about you? You haven't left your studio in like 3 weeks.
I took my computer home because I was sick of being in my studio.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so I've got one computer at home, one computer here.
Oh.
Straight up.
So then you can change your environment every now and then.
Yeah, switch it up. Straight up. What have you been doing?
Avoiding sleep.
Oh, yeah. Slater has a newborn child.
Oh, that's right.
What an idiot!
Streeter, big on the breeding scene.
Snip no more. Wait, I'll do it.
Yeah, we could snip you right now.
Oh, that's fucking funny. All right, well, yeah, we've successfully done...
Oh, you've successfully done something weird to your...
Braided my cable. I do it every time.
That's awesome.
We've successfully done this twice in a row, boys.
Well, is it really successful, though? Have we tested it? Has it recorded?
It looks good.
It looks good. So did the first one we did that didn't record.
Yeah, that...
It looked good. It just didn't sound good. It didn't actually sound anything.
It sounded quite flat.
Yeah. Flat. I would say quiet.
Dude, Luke Clout, what a fucking gangster.
He is an actual legend.
Yeah, he's
a proper gangster. Like, honestly, like one of the best dudes getting about too. He's a legend.
Yeah.
And his Mrs. Loz is a legend too, man. I spent two rounds watching the races with her and she loves it. It's sick. It's actually really cool. Like, she's like, Yeah, she goes clean off. It's rad.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Nah, and he's doing us proud. Like, he is taking it serious enough. And, like, I know what, like, I literally know. I can see when people are doing the right thing because I've been there around people doing the right thing and people that aren't doing it enough. And it's very fucking obvious. Yeah. And he is doing the right thing. Like, he's putting in so much effort. And I'm glad
that... he's talented as fuck.
Fuck yeah, dude. Like, really
talented. Like, I remember when he first... Like, it must have been around that Oakland round or something. And Ricky was saying, posted about him or spoke about him in a podcast or something.
Yeah.
And I remember I, like, screenshotted or sent it to Luke, sent it to Cloudy, and I was like, hey, bro, that's Ricky fucking Carmichael talking to me, FYI.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know, what the fuck? And I'm like, dude, if that doesn't make you believe that you're supposed to be here and that you belong here in that top couple of dudes, then fuck.
Mm.
Like, that's
yeah, like, it doesn't get much better than Carmichael
any better than
shout
that.
Out. Yeah. 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 And so, like, man, for people that are like watching this from America, whatever, like that Melbourne thing, like, fuck, he was fast, man. Like, he was just straight up faster than JB every day. But I was worried about how fast he was going because he literally I said to somebody, I can't remember who it was. Might have been Tim Edwards because he was really rooting for Cloudy to, like, Aussie, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, you just don't need to win practice, but, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, but again, that's
but it's
that
so cool. And you are right what you said to him. Like, you know, it's the best, probably the best thing that happened to him. Because, I mean, you look at any of the, like, real greats, they didn't win the whole way through, like, when they were kids and shit. Like, look at Dungy.
Yeah.
Like, he struggled, didn't he? Until he became a, like...
The G.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was like, you know, I feel like the struggle is what sort of makes him into that. And
especially, man, like, if he won that title and then had everybody like, oh, this is the Australian champ.
He beat Brayton.
Yeah.
Because you would automatically assume, if you weren't like super educated, but you would automatically assume if you have beat a top five/race winner 450 dude, and you're in the 250 class, then you should be able to fucking smoke everyone.
Yeah.
Which is not the case, obviously.
The thing is, though, is that, like, the pressure that it would have put on him, and then there was so much shit that's out of his control.
Yeah.
So, like, as just the rider, like, just Luke Clout, you got all that pressure of being the champ in Australia and beating Brayton. But then it's like, okay, cool. Well, I'm not the guy that's responsible for getting the bikes ready. I'm not the suspension dude. I'm not the one that pays.
Especially because they put, like, you're even, like, they put that deal together in 6 weeks, man. Yeah. Like,
so I
couldn't organize anything in 6 weeks.
Nah, I'm kind of glad for him in a way that
it took you 6 weeks to move your computer out of it. They did a whole race team in that time.
I'm glad that it went the way that it did for him because he got to sort of, I think it took a lot of pressure off his shoulders.
Definitely.
And then now
I feel like he's, like, got to fly under the radar
over
there too. Like, he went over there and, like, Aussie crew are like, oh, that's sick, Cloudy's over there racing. But it wasn't like Cloudy's over there to smash everyone. It was just like, he's over there racing. That's cool. He's having a go.
Yeah.
Rad. You know? And then Americans, I guess, they're just like, oh, that's that guy that's really good from Australia. But it wasn't like,
that's the champ.
That's the fucking champion, you know?
And the thing is, man, is that there's a lot of Australian riders that have gone there before and have fucked it up for guys like Cloudy. Yeah. You know, like, we were taken really seriously up until like the 08, you know, 09 group.
Yeah,
well,
there's
those
like Medi and Chad and Burner group. And...
Yeah, and then once that other dude went there in 08, and then kind of like the Moss boys, like, they did really good over there, but that sort of, it was literally like,
it sort of like phased out.
Yeah, it went like, you had Burner, you had Medi, you had McFarlane, you had Chad, and then it was like, the next thing was kind of hot shit, he sucked over there, and then everyone else after that, it was kind of like, wasn't the same thing.
I
think now, it used to be looked at as like, if you won the Australian Supercross Championship, you were kind of just going to go over there and be like a Medi or...
A top 10 dude.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's gotten harder to do.
Yeah.
And I think
the transition got harder.
Oh, fuck yeah. And for Cloudy, he sort of had to work against
that. I mean,
who
do you think the next dudes are after Cloudy from Australia?
Jet Lawrence.
Jet Lawrence. Shut up, Sam.
Jet Lawrence is like, he's the dude.
Jet and Hunter.
Yeah, yeah. But I think...
But they're not even really the next guys. They're the same... You would call them the same class, the three of them.
I think they're just... They're on their own different deal, man. I don't even think that you could... I barely think you can say that the Lawrence brothers come from Australia at this point.
No, no, no. They're Australian, but but their racing comes from overseas.
Yeah. So it'd be like Cloudy, you know, you obviously had like Jay. I think that that's the route people are going to have to take. Like, I just don't think that we're going to see guys come out of Australia and go onto teams the way that they used to.
There's going to be have to do like a Cloudy thing where you go to another team and then work your way up.
Yeah, because it's the same.
But you know what? It's fucking unreal that you Reeves provided that step.
Yeah, I wonder. Hopefully that can stick around, because that's what JDR was always supposed to be.
Absolutely,
was win in Australia.
Yeah.
And
then
that
was the whole thing. That's why they had the two teams, right? So you like win a title here, and then the next year you go to the US.
Which is really cool. Yeah, but like people, that's what's so cool about
obviously
Cloudy.
Really expensive.
Yeah, but Cloudy, it's so cool because like it's such a big adjustment. It's so much like, I know Ty got a culture shock.
Yeah,
Keisha got a massive culture shock.
Absolutely.
You know, like the way that you have to live your life over there, like you just can't live the same life.
In saying that though,
man,
like I guess Cloudy's probably, it's probably hasn't been as gnarly for him, because you look at Ty comes from Burke.
Mm.
You look at Keisha, and he's from a similar country sort of background, whereas Luke's more from Sydney. Like, I mean, obviously he lives out of Sydney, but he probably, you know, the city thing's probably not as gnarly to him.
Yeah, but it's just a headspace.
Yeah,
it's,
but still.
What do you want?
Oh, dude, it's taken me years of going to America to work out, like, you know, like what I said before, you can only do one thing a day. I used to be like, I'm going to do this and this and this and this, and then get real frustrated every day that I only got like this much done.
Mm-hmm.
But now I know I'm going over there and I need to go for 2 to 3 weeks minimum to get anything done, because I'm going to do one thing that day and one thing this day and one thing this day and one thing this day, and that's all I'm going to get done.
And that's what people, whenever people ask me about, like, do I like living back in Australia? I was like, fuck yes.
You get so much shit done. Like, if you want to go to Bunnings, it takes you 5 minutes. You go and get your shit, you come back. If you're in America, that's going to take you 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so much easier. And I just, it's so, like, if anyone, I think Cloudy's like the most built for it kind of guy.
Definitely.
You know, he's so like, and
he's
like
mature too.
He's a fucking dog. Like, competitive dog, man.
Oh, he's an
like
animal.
It's so,
he's
that's,
a weird animal.
He is a bit of a weird animal.
I
like
it.
You've kind of got to be that competitive. And you saw that at Melbourne, man. Like, he was not fucking around, you know? Like,
he's got the bone in his mouth and he ain't letting go.
All right, we're getting weird.
Yeah, shit's getting weird. Let's get out of here.
See you next Saturday. Thanks to everybody for watching/listening. Gypsy Tales merch is online. Search, this is the Pussy Wagon tee. Looks like a pocket pussy.
It's actually modeled off John Brendan's own pocket pussy.
We took a photo of John Brendan's pocket pussy and
put it on a t-shirt. And here we are.
And it's on a wagon towed by a motorcycle. Therefore, it's a pussy wagon. So, thanks very much.
TTFN.
Yeah.
Ta-ta for now.
We'll see you next Saturday. We've posted a bunch of content this week. If you're a moto fan and you only like our moto shit, we do other podcasts with other people. Episode 100 went down this week with Bridget Burt, one of the fucking gnarliest chicks I've met in my entire life. I think that was like the podcast that's probably the gnarliest podcast I've done, where I sat and just went like,
What?
What the fuck?
What the fucking fuck?
What?
Why am I saying what weird?
So yeah,
the code word is whiskey.
But yeah, she's a fucking savage. And like, that was a super sick podcast. So if you've got some time and you just feel like venturing out of the motosphere, there's some cool shit on our iTunes/YouTube channel as well. Just dig through the videos. Thank you very much to Streeter, even though he should be thanking us for getting him out of a house with a crying child.
back to the crying child for you, Streetsy.
Yeah, Streeter's like, I can ride both days.
Yeah,
and I can, do
I
the
can
podcast.
Ride both days. How many podcasts have we got backed up? Oh, like 6 a day? Yeah, that's cool. I'm there.
Let's do a 24-hour stream.
Do you want to do a 24-hour podcast and just see what happens?
Wait, let's just quarantine. Let's just podcast until they open back quarantine. This kid's 3 by the time he goes back.
Oh, dad's home. Wait, it's like, you know, you know when like dad goes to the shop to get some milk and never comes back. Dad went to record a podcast, never came home.
I'm off to buy cigarettes. You don't smoke. The street is like, let's do a podcast.
Quick, let's turn this off.
Let's do a podcast until it's my kid's first day of high school.
Till he's 18.
Oh, oh that's shit. Funny. Right, thanks, guys.
Right, bye. See you later. Oh,